Welcome to the ECK podcast. Today we'll be discussing the 1971 LMU yearbook scandal, more specifically focusing on the political climate of the time and protests featured in the yearbook. Nearly 50 years later, history finds a way of repeating itself, and even today, LMU is still covering protests, though these ones seem a little closer to home. Okay, so what is the 1971 LMU yearbook scandal? From our understanding, the administration of LMU had an issue with the yearbook committee after merging Loyola and Marymount University, claiming that the content of the yearbook focused solely on outside issues, not related to the school, and LMU no longer sufficed the budget for a yearbook anyway. They wanted to get rid of it. With the yearbook on the chopping block, the committee decided to band together and print their own yearbook.
Though there was a lot of school pride printed in the yearbook, there was also a great deal of focus on movements happening in LA at the time, such as the Chicano movement, which during the 1960s to early 70s was at its height, advocating for political empowerment and social justice and reform. Mexican Americans were discriminated against throughout United States history, and this movement shined a light on the turmoil this community had suffered, focusing mostly on farm workers' rights. Today, LMU specifically is experiencing a similar uprising of workers demanding a fair and livable wage, mostly from facilities management, FM workers, who care for the university's community. We are fortunate to interview Nona Pittman, who is the lead coordinator of the FM worker strike, as she walks us through the movement and its intentions.
So our FM Solidarity Solidaridad movement started last year. I've had relationships with facilities management workers since my first year at LMU, and getting to know their stories and their experiences prompted me to be part of a movement that would work towards equity and just wages for them. A lot of them have families and children, and approximately 70 of them were making $16 last year, which is not an affordable wage at all. So we protested, we sent emails to the president, we made phone calls, and we were fortunate enough to learn in the summer that their pay was increased from $16 an hour to $19.15 an hour, which is huge progression, so exciting, and an enormous effect made by this movement. However, part of the reason why LMU did this is because Los Angeles County had a new mandate that minimum wage could no longer be $16. It had to be 16 and some change. So that already goes to show that the reason why they moved the number from 16 to a different one was because the government required them to do so. And I fully believe that LMU is a Jesuit institution that prides itself on justice and equity, has more of a responsibility than just to the government, and has a responsibility to their Jesuit values. So after we found that out, this year we still are demanding $21, which is, according to MIT's livable wage calculator, a livable wage for one adult with no dependents. And so folks have multiple kids and families and other people to take care of, so $21 is the minimum that LMU can do. Recently, our president, who was already making well over $500,000, requested over a $90,000 pay raise. We're paying our basketball coach hundreds of thousands of dollars, Provost Poon hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we have such a strong Latine presence on LMU's campus. They make up so many staff members, but the majority of the Latina staff members are facilities management workers. They're overworked, they're understaffed. We have 7 facilities management groundskeepers to maintain a 142-acre campus. They're constantly here taking care of all the needs of the students, and so if LMU prides themselves on their Jesuit values, then they need to put their money where their mouth is. LMU has the funds to take care of this, they're just choosing not to. I mean, I think any institution in the United States has inherent problematic roots, and so it's our responsibility as a campus and as a student body that's passionate about justice to make sure that the needs of all hurting members on this campus are paid attention to and tended to. You know, there are many people on this campus who are facing inequities and injustices on their own. Right now, I think it's really important to focus on the facilities management movement, and I want to see an end reached with that. But I also acknowledge that inflation is real, and what might be a livable wage right now might not be a livable wage in a couple years. And so it's less about the number and more about justice and making sure that everyone who works on this campus is able to have a life that is good and that is fulfilling and that is healthy. And right now, that's not the case. I recently was talking to an FM worker who said that he has the opportunity to retire, but is going to wait it out until all facilities management workers are given a minimum wage of $21. And so I want this not just for our FM workers who aren't making enough money, but for our older generations to feel that their work is valuable and that their time here is well spent. And so the movement continues because justice continues and injustice exists everywhere. Our president is not the biggest fan of our movement, to say the least. I have people on the inside who have had conversations with him. He said that this number has come out of nowhere. He says that technically the FM workers are already making $26 an hour because of medical care benefits and things of that nature. Number one, the number didn't come out of nowhere. It's from MIT's livable wage calculator. MIT is a prestigious and well-trusted institution. Number two, you wouldn't say to a professor who's making $70,000 a year that they're actually making $80,000 a year because LMU is covering their medical benefits. The reality is there's just not enough money in these folks' pockets, and we need to tend to those needs. In addition to that backlash, you definitely have some more conservative professors that say, well, where is this money going to come from? And while that skepticism is valuable, and I think that it's important to listen to dissenting opinions, the bottom line is if folks are saying that, if that's their first reaction to this movement, they don't care about where the money's coming from. They just don't care about justice. I mean, LMU is making so much money from their students, and the salary that's going to the salary that's going to Poon, the salary that's going to our basketball coach comes from our pockets. And I didn't commit to giving $800,000 to our basketball coach. I committed to justice, and I committed to being with and for others, as LMU promises that they were going to set the example for us. So more skepticism and less backlash. But I believe in our movement, and I don't think that what we're asking for is unrealistic or unjustifiable. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. For coming.
As one can see, there are many parallels that link the Chicano movement to the FM workers strike, coupled with how LMU continues to cover these topics simply by sweeping them under the rug. The FM workers strike is still striving to receive the pay of $21 an hour, and we hope that this time around, when this information is presented in the yearbook, administration will not try to stop this crucial coverage of information. Thank you for listening to our podcast.